to the simplicity that we find in Jesus Christ. And so as we've been looking at this, you can go back and you can listen to some of the former lessons. But what we're trying to do this morning, Chris and I want to just give you a quick review. We want to go over some of the things, just remind you. Some of us this time of year, we need a good reminder. But we really want to press in because it's super, super important with where we're headed for 2025 and where we're headed with the scripture. It's absolutely necessary that we really dig in as best we can to get this foundation laid. And for some of us, this is a process of peeling back some of the lies that we have believed about ourselves and about what's been presented to some of us as church or religion, and really embracing on a whole new level what Father God is trying to help us understand, what Christ has died for and risen, what he's interceding on our behalf for right now, and the desire of what the Holy Spirit is working to accomplish, not just in this body, but in this region and globally. So I'm going to ask you to follow along in Romans chapter 12 as Chris jumps in and reads the scripture and reminds us of where we've been. Follow along with us.
All right, Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you.
Amen.
Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Mm-hmm. This is truly the way that we worship him.
Yeah.
Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other.
Read that again. I love that.
The whole verse?
Whatever you want to read. Right. Just that last part.
Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Mm. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing others kindness, do it gladly.
So what we want to do this morning is we just quickly want to go through and address a quick review. So if you remember, hey, Amy, we had a dialogue with Amy Lukacik about just the importance of authenticity. Because if you look at these verses, it presses us toward authenticity. In other words, we have got to, each and every one of us, have got to learn to be honest and truthful, first of all, with ourselves, but then with God. That, like, there again, there's this process. If you can't be honest with yourself and if you can't be honest with God, it's going to be difficult for you to live with authenticity with other people. And so then we began just this focus on spiritual gifts and how the Father gives specific attributes. Think about this, for the health of the body of Christ, his church. If you're a believer, if you have believed in Jesus as the Son of the living God, and you've asked him to be a part of your life and you're pressing into him, then just want to remind you that you have been given specific attributes or gifts for the body. to make the body strong. So we said it like this. Let me give you four words that we mentioned. Remember, we mentioned this is all about relationship. It's personal between you or us and God because we believed. So this is a personal pursuit. And we mentioned the word focus. We're trying to see this big picture of a healthy body, not just for personal health. Your individual health is to promote health within the body. We mentioned the word discovery. Spiritual gifting is personal confirmation of your importance to God and his body. The reason we mentioned discovery is a lot of you come from backgrounds where it may not be said externally, but there's this underlying belief that it's a responsibility of the spiritual leaders within the body to give you assignments or to point out what your gifts are. And I'm just letting you know, we didn't give the gifts and we're not that smart.
That's right.
It's got to be a personal pursuit. Yeah. You have to be pressing in and you have to discover within your relationship with Christ, what has he done for you? What does that mean? Fourth word, practice.
Yeah.
Learning to function and do your part for the health of the church and for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Now, these are things that we're reminding you of, but these are also things that we, and not just the two of us, as a leadership team, as a study team, there's a growing number of people that we believe these things and we're pressing into those. And Chris, when he was teaching, one of the powerful statements that he made was about the privilege that we have.
Oh, yeah. And just reminding all of us that pursuing God is the most meaningful choice that we can make.
Say that again.
That pursuing God, for you pursuing God, yeah, is the most meaningful choice that you can make in your life. And why? Because it changes your life.
Yeah.
And then it also blesses others.
Yeah.
Right? And so before we even go any further, Tim, I think we're still stuck at the beginning over here.
Okay.
I mean, based off of everybody's facial expressions. that's what we're, all of this, we're just going to keep going back to. Tim, who was Romans 12 written to?
To Chris and I. No, it was written to all of us, to anyone who would believe, who is pressed into that faith relationship that has said, Jesus, I believe, please forgive me. Whatever the phrase, whatever the wording was that you used in your own life, this scripture is for all of us. It's not for an elite group. It's not for some dream team. It's for all of us. And that's why we continue to press into this, because this goes against what some natural beliefs are in the way that we view church.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why what we're going to keep going back to all the time is that it's about, we're not trying, we don't have some sort of secret knowledge that you guys don't get to have, but it's all about all of us discovering God personally.
Yes, absolutely.
Go back in your own copy of scripture and just read through Romans 12 a couple times this week and be able to personalize it. What's the invitation? That you would be able to understand all that God has done for you.
Yep.
You personally. And that you would then respond to God like, hey, God, I don't necessarily understand this. I don't know why you would do this for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm going to respond to you and allow you to change me.
Absolutely. Because we all have these struggles.
All of us.
And Chris has talked about this. Like, we allow those struggles to define us, or we allow those struggles or those failures to impact or be more important in our mindset than what God says about us, which is one of the reasons why we had a, Jacqueline was up here, and I was trying to help you understand from a father-daughter relationship the importance of identity. How can we look at Romans chapter 12 and not see that our identity is not just in our own failure, it's not in our own struggles, it's not in our own humanity, but getting back to the simplicity that we begin to see ourselves because God says certain things about us, and that makes it so, begin to get our identity simply because of God's love and what Christ has done for us.
Do we trust what he says about us? or are we going to trust what we say about us?
Am I supposed to answer that?
No, just let that sit. Let that percolate a little bit.
Because we all have the same struggle.
No, absolutely. All of us.
We all have the same struggle. That we naturally want to believe our own concept of how we view ourselves more than what God says about us. Absolutely. It's a natural struggle. So the whole struggle with identity is so, so super important. And then one of the things that we talked about with that is for a lot of us, we naturally, in our natural world, our doing directs our identity. So we get our identity based on what we do or what we accomplish, or especially for guys, what job do you have, the things that you're involved in, when what God says is that our identity should actually be directing our doing.
Right.
And so that's where this whole love equation and this transformation, this part of the pressure of this world system is beginning to see our identity differently, and that our identity drives the things that we do.
Right. What did he say in Romans 12? What did he say? He says that don't copy the behaviors or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Think about yourself. Think about God. The way you think about others. All of this matters. At the root of so many of Satan's temptations is just the question of who you are and how God feels about you. The rest of the temptations are secondary. The forces of evil, Satan starts by making you question who you are and how God feels about you. So Ephesians chapter 4. We want to point some things out and we want to really dig in because this is so imperative as we move forward. So follow along in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. This is what Paul says to the people in Ephesus. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Why am I a prisoner? Because of my faith. Beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. I'm going to stop right there. Maybe some of you are coming from backgrounds where this verse has been used to talk about some level of hierarchy of church leadership. That's not the context that we're reading this in. Do you sense and do you feel a call from God? Do you believe that you've been called by God or that you have a calling? Oh, that's only for an elite group of people. That's not what the scripture says. Some of you may embrace that thinking, but that's part of the thing that we want to address and we want to pry up and we want to dig up this morning. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. For all of us, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. The only branding I see that we see in this scripture is Jesus Christ. There are church families all over this region. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, and we need to get back to the point where we love and look out for one another as the big church. We may have flocks, but we are part of a huge flock. I'll read on because I'm about to jump off here. I'm trying. However, he's given each one of us a special gift. Some of your translations say a special grace through the generosity of Christ. We're not, We're not trying to put anybody in bondage. We're not trying to control. Think about the generosity of Christ to give everyone who believes something special, some spiritual gift, some special grace to where that you can contribute to the health and the well-being of the body of Christ. Yeah. That's stinking awesome. I'll keep reading. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So an expectation was just set of us as spiritual leaders. What is it that we are supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be doing everything? Are we supposed to be the guys that you say, oh, let them do it because that's what they get paid to do? Well, I can take it, I can get out of this because that's why we support them so that they can do that and I get off the hook. That's not what the scripture's saying. Because here's the thing that you need to know about us is that if we needed to do what we're doing and to support our families differently, we would. You allow us the privilege of doing what we're doing. And we're grateful for that. But look at what it says here. What does it say? Equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Whose responsibility is it to build up the church, the body of Christ, and to edify one another? All of our job. Now, you got to hang with me because Chris and I were talking last service. We kind of feel like we're throwing a hand grenade in the middle of the room today. Okay? Because there's some of you that you're really trying to process a lot because what you have been taught and led to believe about church, as we're digging into the scripture, some of you are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's read. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I don't know about you, but that's like, whoa, that's cool. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Does that not sound like our world today? Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. Romans chapter 12, this beautiful body illustration of the human body, who's the head? Christ is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. There again, that's why using the illustration in Romans chapter 12, this incredible, I mean, just the functionality of the human body is absolutely incredible. It's miraculous. But look at what it says, the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, look at what it says. It helps the other parts grow so that the entire body is healthy and growing and full of love. All right. We're hoping that this will help. So we got a church pew up here. Church pew, we can call it a bench. So I'm not going to pick on anybody specifically. We're not going to pick on anybody specifically for the next 30 seconds. But if I can get some volunteers to come up and fill up the bench. Come on, man. That's it. Dude, I love that. This young man set the example. There you go. Hey, just
it's
so
not
we know.
You. It's
a little
it's
concrete, little seesaw in the middle. There you go. Come on up here. Absolutely. Come on. We got to fill this pew up. Let's go. Come on, Denny. Get up.
There you go.
Thank you. There you go. Good. Let's fill this pew up. Yeah. Hey, put him on this end. Never mind. All right, somebody, we still got one spot left. Who's going to fill up the spot? Thank you, Riley. I appreciate you volunteering. That's good.
Yeah, Riley. You can bring your Bible up. It's all good.
That's good, Riley. I love that. So I want you to look up here, and I just want you to understand that they are, thank you guys so much for being up here and being a part. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, ladies. Carry out that end. Thank you for being up here. And we need for you to see this because this is so important as we address some of the lies that have been presented to us about what church looks like. We feel that one of the biggest lies or the biggest misunderstandings in the Western church or the American church has to do with the perspective of the bench plan.
What's a bench plan?
Thanks for asking, Chris.
Yeah.
So think about this. We're using a church pew or we're using the bench to just try to help you understand that there seems to be, and a lot of us, whether we even got church background, there seems to be this natural perspective that there's the all-star team, the team that's out in the game, that are like the superstars, and then let's just be honest, the majority of the church is on the bench. And then what we're talking about is we're on the bench and we're going to have these superstars that are doing whatever they do and however they got there. But it's like this. Ministry has become this all-star event where only a few people are visible in the game while most view themselves as being on the bench. Sadly, it's not like most people are on the bench are looking for an opportunity to get in the game as they feel that it's their role to simply show up and occupy or be on the bench and cheer for the team. Now hang with me. This is something that Chris and I and a lot of us are trying to pry up and look at. Look at the role of spiritual leaders as outlined in Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12. What we're trying to say is every single follower of Jesus should be personally, think about this phrase that we just read, every single follower of Jesus should be personally growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his church, the body, the church. So what we have to just be honest about this morning is a lot of us have these concepts of visible ministry roles and not so visible ministry roles. Visible roles are more public in nature, or if we can say public stage. Not so visible roles are more like private or behind the scenes in nature, like everyday life. So as you're looking at everybody sitting up here, what I love about most of the people up here that I know, they're not bench warmers. They are activating, they are doing things like from the youngest. Well, I won't say the oldest, that's obvious. love you, man. There is this, I'm super proud of their engagement and their participation and their involvement. But we have to realize that if our view of ministry is stage and presentation, There's only room for so many people. And this is part of what we're trying to pry up and what we're trying to address is that's not the New Testament model. There's a place for that. Like, we are so thankful for what we get to do on Sunday. But it feels like sometimes we make it, if we're not careful, all about Sunday. And that's not the New Testament model.
No. So that's what we're trying to bring to light with this pew illustration is the fact that, I mean, what the scripture is calling us to do and what we're striving to be as a Mountain View family is, it's not about Sunday.
No.
What you're doing in your homes is way more important than what we're doing right here on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that we're living in that and seeing that what God is doing in us is important when you're at home changing diapers and, you know, trying to parent mm-hmm. your young ones.
Yeah.
When you're on your job, no one else, Tim and I aren't the ones working your job.
No.
But you are there. That's important. When you're inviting people over to your house for a meal and you're like, man, let's check in with each other. That's important. That's
absolutely
very important. That is vital. And so what we're trying to do is just change this. We aren't filled with a whole bunch of bench players. You guys are on the field working. You just may not even know that you're in the game.
And some of you, your ministry in the not so visible, you're more of an all-star than you realize.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that because we're trying to make you feel good. We're talking about the validity of what God says about us and what we're supposed to be as church. There's something supernatural here. And one of the things that we believe that if you study the New Testament record and you really pay attention, you will see that the early church modeled an amazing balance in ministry. You've got the church leaders. You've got Paul. You've got Peter. You've got all these people. But one of the first martyrs, Stephen. Where did Stephen get picked from? He was one of those guys in the trenches, everyday life. He was ministering and he was serving and he was full of the Holy Spirit. And it was like one of those things where they said, hey, things are changing. We need more people to step up their game. Go look and see who in the everyday life is making it happen and full of the Holy Spirit. And so they went and they said, hey, man, here's these seven guys. And we could go through and we could pick up. And he said, this is, so he was given a different responsibility. But why? It was based on his everyday lifestyle investment in pursuit of Christ. Thanks, Ron. Does that make sense? And so one of the things that you see in the New Testament that can be easily overlooked is that the power of what they experienced. When we went through the book of Acts, as we're studying through Romans, as we're looking at different parts in Ephesians, is that these people individually so believed that their identity was in Christ that it went with them everywhere they went. It was a part of their DNA. It was a part of who they were. We will suggest this morning that unlike many church models across America, that a majority of the gospel ministry in the early church was done by average followers of Christ who embraced their gifts and the importance of their participation. The power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church is due to the power of each individual pursuing Christ and participating with the gospel message on the most personal level of life and living. So many different walks represented up here. And what I love, can I say thank you guys for being up here this morning? Thank you for participating. And thank you because I feel like I know a little bit about you. And even just the fact that you are helping this morning, that there is something, you didn't come up here because you're a bench warmer. You were willing to step up because of the things that are going on inside. And let me just tell you, people see your hearts and people see your lives. And it's about us just being real and authentic as we live our lives for Christ. So thank you so very much for being up here. I'll take you off the hook this morning. All right. Good job. Thank you for being first. Yeah. That's awesome.
You always gotta get it.
Yeah, man. Icebreaker. So with us sharing our hearts this morning, and please understand where we're going to be digging in about the simplicity, the simple life. We're just going to be pressing in to trying to strip away the complexity,
yeah,
stripping away the confusion, and just getting back to certain things.
Yeah.
And so part of what we're trying to address this morning is you need to know our hearts. The leadership here at Mountain View, you need to understand. And some of you, maybe you've never heard this before, but what we're doing here is an approach that's based on a personal faith, growing to create a group faith to function as a healthy body of Jesus.
Say it again.
What we're doing.
Hey, you did it to me, so I was like,
it's cool. I accept that. It's based on personal faith, and we can't emphasize this enough. We're not trying to make clones. We're not trying to create some new system. What we're trying to do is just press into what Jesus said. What we're trying to do is just get you to embrace Jesus on the most personal level, and it's personal faith growing to create group faith to function as a healthy body of Jesus. Everyone participating because they want to and no other reason. We're not trying to make anybody do anything.
No.
One of the things somebody said to us a couple months ago, they came in for the first time and they were in one of the services, and I was talking to them like a week or two later, and they had like big eyes and they were looking at me and said, "Tim, it was like everybody was excited to be there and wanted to be there." I'm like, there's no other reason to be here. I mean, well, maybe if you're 7 and your mom and dad said, I mean, I get it, but that's still good. But you get what we're saying? This is our heart. And so we're not trying to create anything of man, but rather experience a movement of God through people that are learning to love him and learning to love others.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. Everything that we desire for us as a church family, for you, is for you to experience God personally.
Yeah.
We are continually having those personal moments where God just like lights up our soul and he heals us and he's teaching us and
yeah,
he's helping us personally. And that empowers what you see all throughout the week in us.
Yeah.
We are nothing if we aren't connecting to God. The same is for you. We want you to be able to be in all that the Creator knows.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
He loves you and he desires relationship with you. And what begins to happen when you press into that is he begins to spark something in,
yes,
you. And you're like, man, I can't keep this to myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And as you begin to experience Christ in your life, just pass that along with somebody.
Yeah.
And just look across the room. Look at the vast just areas of this world that we touch in this,
yes,
room.
Yes, absolutely.
That's how we function as the body of Christ. I can't be you.
No.
I don't have, God hasn't placed the people in my life that he's placed in your life. But as you learn how to receive what Christ has talked about you and begin to learn how to walk in that, you begin to take that light to areas that only you can. And so don't walk away from this feeling like this shame, like, oh, they're telling us that we're not good.
We're telling you just the opposite.
No, that's what we want you to hear.
You're amazing because of Jesus.
Yeah.
You have such potential because of what, yeah, Jesus has already said about you and provided for you in your belief. And we're just trying to get you to believe it and tap, yeah, into it. And you have something that you add to this body that, yeah, if you don't do it, we're going to be missing something.
Yep. Yep.
We don't want to be a church family that is unhealthy and we begin to die because we're malnourished. And the only way that we are going to be the healthy body according to Scripture and what God's plan is that if we all begin to understand that we have something valuable to add.
Yeah.
So in the middle of all this, we understand as leadership that some of you have been deeply wounded by religious systems. You've been wounded by church people and religious leaders. We understand that some of you don't trust us. Let's just go ahead and air that out. We get that. Trust is something that we believe has to be earned. And a lot of times it's when there's a lot of damage, it's earned over a long period of time. If you don't trust, then we understand that it's natural for you to question our motives. And I can just tell you that
we're doing our best to live true to the teachings of our Lord Jesus and to the Holy Scriptures. And we're doing the best that we can to be able to be about what Jesus said and what he's asked us to do.
We're not trying to do anything new. We're trying to get back to the simplicity of the gospel and disciple making. That's why our leadership team, we do our best to model servant leadership. Because it's not about a performance.
Yeah.
It's about a lifestyle.
Yeah.
What our hearts desire is that some of you, maybe for the first time, you would experience a belief and a freedom and an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And that you will realize that you have been shown great love. And not only that, you are so important to the body that he's given you something special that we need. And I understand it's difficult to believe that because many of us have not been in church families where that is a genuine expectation. But we're just letting you know that the more we dive into Scripture, the only way that we're going to be the healthy body is that if we begin to press into what the challenge is here.
Yeah.
And there's a couple things that we need for you to grasp.
And we're asking for you to consider your value to God and your identity through Christ. We're asking you to practice your grace gifts from our Lord. We're asking you to function in your God-designed role so that we can edify one another in love. And we're asking you to promote health within this body and the body of Christ in this area.
I can look around right now. There's so many of you that you feel unseen.
Yeah.
And your investment edifies other people. You can demean yourself, you can put yourself down, but we are a stronger, better church family because of your participation, and you edify people and you create health.
Yeah.
We're not trying to grow budgetarily. We're not trying to grow numerically. What we're trying to be is a healthy body that will proclaim in a powerful way because of our health, healing and redemption.
Yeah.
And transformation and forgiveness. That's the message that this world so desperately needs.
Yeah.
But we can't be fake about it.
Yeah.
We have to believe what God says about us.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things that we want to leave with you and we want you to think about.
This is God's design for his body, his church, that everyone has a role.
Everyone has a role.
Everyone matters. And everyone ministers.
If you're here this morning and you don't think you matter, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Jesus died. All of us, while we were yet in our sin, futuristically he could see, while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us to show us his great love, the Father's love, to validate our importance and our value. And what we have to do is we have to press back into what God says about us and what this plan for church, his body, is all about. And it is about what he says about us being more important than what we think about ourselves.
Yeah.
You matter. And you have a role. And we are expecting great and mighty things for 2025. We don't know what that looks like, but I can tell you this. We can promise you that if more and more people within our church family begin to take Jesus at his word, begin to take Holy Father for what he says about his plan, and we begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, oh my word. Because some of you, the lies that you believed, what you're missing is that you are the answer to somebody else's hope.
Yep. Yeah.
That your life and your testimony, people that don't trust us and for good reason, if you work with them, if you walk with them in community and in your family, and they see God's transformation, they see God's hope in you, they can see it in you. Or they might not be able to see it in us.
Yeah.
Let's be his body.
Yeah.
And let's love. And let's believe what he says about us. One more time, Chris.
Everyone has a role. Everyone matters. And everyone ministers.
Your calling from God as a minister of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Father, we're asking you to help our unbelief, strip away the lies, and empower your body, your church, all over this county and all over this region. I thank you for brothers and sisters that are worshiping right now in other locations, and we intercede for them, that our love for you would bind us together in the unity of peace by your Spirit, that we would be able to proclaim your love on a whole new level, not just here, but around the world. Father, we are asking you to do great and mighty things and help us to believe what you say about us. Because of Jesus, we ask. Amen.